Good morning, friends. I'm Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. So glad that you are with us together in worship this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary or you happen to be at home worshiping with us online through the live stream. I'm glad that we could be together on this Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday before the start of Lent, the Sunday wherein we remember the time where Jesus was transfigured, where his appearance was changed on the mountainside. So I'm glad that we could be together here in worship. As we begin our time, we're going to share a few announcements that we want to highlight, announcements to help you connect with the life and the ministries and the mission of this church. And so I'm going to turn to Pastor Bethany, who serves as our associate pastor, who has several announcements about the church and as we step into the Lenten season. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have a few announcements for us, and I invite you to mark your calendars. This week begins the season of Lent. We will have a Shrove Tuesday pancake dinner on Tuesday, February 17th from 5 to 6:30 down in the Fellowship Hall. It is free, but there is a suggested donation of $5, and the money will be donated as the youth have done in the past. And then on Wednesday, February 18th, we will have our Ash Wednesday service. That will be at 7 p.m. in the chapel. And so we invite you to attend that as well. And then our Lenten study will begin the following Wednesday, so February 25th. I will be leading a Wednesday morning class at 9:30 a.m. in the parlor, and Pastor Jeremy will be leading an evening class at 6:30 p.m. in the hub. We have the Lenten study books for you in the office area at the desk. You can pick one up if you haven't already. And then finally, I would like to let you know that the children in Sunday school will be having a Lenten fair this morning, and so they are going to begin at 10 a.m., and there will not be a children's blessing this morning in worship. We will go right from our opening hymn to the special music, and so if we have any children in worship right now, I invite you to exit to the left up here, and then go through the hallway to your right, and you'll see the Sunday school room. They're doing some fun activities for Lent this morning. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you for highlighting all of those, Pastor Bethany. Hope that you find a way to be intentional as we walk through this time of reflection and of inward consideration throughout the season of Lent. And now that we're on a roll, some of you know, I'm going to hand things off to Drew Talbot, who's a member of our youth ministry team, with an announcement about an upcoming roll bake. Drew?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. So we do have a roll bake coming up. It's 2 weeks. So February 28th is the actual day we're baking them, and then we'll distribute them on the Sunday following. So that would be what, March 1st? Okay, we'll call it. But I need your help. We don't have very many ordered so far. I mean, we have maybe 100 or so dozen, and that's not many. We're making a big mess. We want to sell more rolls. So in the pew, there should be a card like this, and if you will look, get it out, fill it out, put it in the plate today, that would help, because Matt Hamilton and I are going to have to order some flour and yeast and different things for it, and it would really be nice to know how many we need to prepare for, okay? We also need help making the rolls. We have some people that have signed up. Bev, are you signed up? Okay. And you could go to Sign Up Genius, and if you're not a genius and you have trouble signing up that way, you can call the office, you can call me, you can call Steve, whoever, and say you want to help, okay? And if you have some restrictions that you don't want to run the big mixer or the oven or whatever, just speak up and we'll just, you know, tell you tough luck, go ahead and do it. But, you know, we still need your help there, okay? So, okay?
If you have more
Here's one right here. None there. Okay. If you don't have one and you want to just write it in the attendance pad, I'm just going to call an audible here, and you're going to write roll bake. I want, let's just say 12 cinnamon. You don't want many this time. 12 dozen cinnamon and maybe just 5 dozen plain. Okay, and then just put that on the line underneath and we'll get that ordered for you, okay? Capiche? Everyone got it? Okay. If you plan to help and you want to pick up your rolls the day you're helping, if they're ready, then that'll work too. Otherwise, we'll be here and we'll set up, distribute them on that Sunday, okay? Thank you, guys. Oh, you got an extra one. We got a few extra ones here. Will you pass that back right there? Anyone else? Okay.
All right. Thank you, Drew. I already feel the Holy Spirit moving in worship this morning. Glad you'd go with that audible, and it's a wonderful time, whether it's in making the rolls or enjoying the rolls, so either way, appreciate your participation in the upcoming roll bake. With all that, I'm going to encourage you to turn to your weekly e-blast, your weekly email from the church. There's a lot of announcements of what's going on elsewhere in the church. If you aren't yet receiving those, encourage you to reach out to the church office, and we'll be happy to be sending those to you this morning.
Please remain standing for the call to worship if you're able. The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
I invite you to remain standing for our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision. You'll find this on page 451 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
And now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads that are at the end of your pews. And if you don't know who your neighbors are, I invite you to take a look at that as it's coming back towards you. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to get to know who's here. And likewise, I invite you to just reflect as the ushers are coming forward on the ways that God has blessed you this week and the ways that you've seen him at work in your life and at work in the world. If the ushers will please come forward.
You might notice that I am not Wayne Winslow. Wayne is having some throat issues with his singing today, so I will be filling in and singing the song that he picked out, Go Rest High on That Mountain.
Sweet voice sing.
Please stand for the doxology.
Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you take small things that we have and bless them. You take everything that we have and you bless them. Lord, we pray that you bless these gifts and use them to your honor and glory. Use them to build up the kingdom of God in any way that you see fit. And we thank you for every good gift that you give us. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In his book, Igniting a New Generation of Believers, Richard Showalter shares the story of a particular door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman. And as the story goes, this salesman took a very confident approach to his sales, to securing sales. What he would do is, after getting the proverbial foot in the door, he would throw a bag of manure on the ground. And he would do this before the homeowner had any opportunity to object. And so one day, this salesman happens to knock on the door of an older woman. And before she realizes what's happening, the salesman goes ahead and throws down that bag of manure on her entryway carpet. And he says, "Ma'am, this vacuum cleaner is so powerful, and I have so much confidence in its ability that I believe this vacuum will pick up every speck of manure, or I will get on my hands and knees and pick up every bit of it." Well, the lady replied gently by offering her hospitality. "Well, you come in, young man. Feel free. We have no electricity." Right? You know, it's good to be confident, But having the appropriate amount or the appropriate level of confidence, well, that's even better. With Ash Wednesday coming up this week, we enter Lent. Lent is that 40-day season on the church's calendar, which begins on Ash Wednesday and goes all the way through the day before Easter Sunday. And it's with the help of the Holy Spirit that we set aside this time in the church for reflecting on our walk with Christ, to tuning, and if need be, to turning our hearts back to God. It's on this day and in preparation for Lent that the church celebrates what is known as Transfiguration Sunday. It's on this Sunday that we remember the time when God transformed Jesus' physical appearance, which Pastor Bethany read to us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. And so it's in Matthew chapter 17 that we encounter Jesus on a mountainside. And with him is his trusted inner circle of disciples, Peter and the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And Jesus has taken them aside once again to be alone with them. It's here that these disciples witness God's miraculous transformation of Jesus' appearance. According to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes began to shine and became white as light. And suddenly, with his change of appearance, Jesus is then joined by Moses and the prophet Elijah. And as often is the case, Peter, the brass disciple, the outspoken disciple, is first to speak up. You have somebody in your circle of friends who they're just not comfortable with silence. Right? Some of you have that, yes. And more often than not, they make the moment even a little bit more awkward by saying the wrong thing. Well, that's our friend Peter. That's our disciple Peter. And filling that space, he proposes to build shelters on the mountain. That what he had seen was so magnificent that he wanted to mark that spot by building three shelters on that mountainside. But even as Peter jumps in with his suggestion, a bright cloud gathers above this group. And from this cloud, they hear a voice. "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." Can you imagine being amongst the disciples and encountering all that and seeing God show up in that magnificent way? At this point, there's no doubt. Jesus' disciples are certain that they have encountered the living God. For they know that God is holy, and they know that God has drawn near, and that they have seen what is possible when God steps in. And so on this Transfiguration Sunday, what is our takeaway? Certainly, we've all had mountaintop experiences where we too believe it was undeniable or is undeniable that God drew near. What is it that we're to take away from this mountaintop experience of the disciples? Is it simply to remember a time when Jesus' appearance went through some sort of momentary divine intervention or transformation? Is that it, that we're just simply to remember this event? After all, Jesus all but ignores Peter's suggestion of building a memorial in response to what has taken place. And yet there's no denying that something special took place. That God had come near. Something so special that the church still turns to what took place in preparation for Lent. But it seems that there's more here, yes? That Jesus wanted more than just a memorial, than just a simple remembrance of what had taken place. Perhaps the key to more fully appreciating Jesus' transfiguration and how it can speak into our life today can be found in the first three words of this passage. First three words of Matthew 17, verse 1 being, 6 days later. 6 days later, and then we hear what took place. It's giving us this specific timestamp. It's as if the author of Matthew's gospel wants us to connect the events of what took place at the transfiguration, what took place on that mountain, and what took place before it. It's almost as if the very beginning of Matthew's chapter 17 should read, and then, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them high up on a mountain. And if we look back in Matthew's gospel to what had taken place 6 days ago, we read and we hear that it was from this time on that Jesus spoke openly with his disciples about what awaited him in Jerusalem. 6 days ago, Jesus had spoke openly about his suffering and how he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of religious leaders. 6 days ago, Jesus spoke of how he would be killed. 6 days ago, Jesus spoke of how all of this would happen, but that on the third day he would be raised. Terribly tough. That not only would it be tough for his disciples, but that it would also be tough for him. And perhaps this is why he took his trusted inner circle of witnesses to be part of what took place on the mountain. Because he knew it was going to get tough. And he wanted his disciples to see what is possible, to see his appearance transformed, to gain further insight into Jesus' role as their Savior, to once again hear God proclaim, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Ultimately, Jesus wants them to know that as things get tough, as the road ahead gets tough, Jesus wants them to know that they are okay. That they can put their trust in him. And in the end, this is our reminder and our hope leading into Lent. Because by its nature, Lent too can be daunting. As I mentioned, it's during Lent that we do look inwardly. It's during Lent that we consider our love for God and our love for neighbor and our love for others. And it's also during Lent where we look for those areas in our life where they might not be aligned with God's heart. Where our lives aren't aligned with loving God and with loving neighbor. Indeed, we set aside these 40 days purposefully disrupting our day-to-day lives. We take on practices that remind us that this time is different. We might fast from something that is a part of our daily routine. We might set it aside. Or we might pick up a practice that will help us to be more in tune with God. A morning or evening devotional. A serving of others. Something to make this season different. And we allow for this disruption in an intentional way so that the Holy Spirit might reveal to us where we're growing. Where we're especially mindful of God's presence in our life, or where we might be missing the mark or needing to make changes. It's during this time that we ask God to open our very hearts and mind to how we are a blessing to God and to others. Or how we might be standing in the way of how God is working or might be working in us or through us. And so I've been giving this some thought this morning and anticipating entering Lent together as a church and individually. And I wonder if the most daunting part about Lent is not so much that we open ourselves up to God and we encounter an angry God or a wrath-filled God, because here on this mountainside, we hear about Jesus' encounter with God and alongside the disciples, and we hear God say, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And perhaps we're reminded as a child of God that we too are loved. But I wonder if the more daunting part about Lent is holding out hope that something in our life can be different. That God would come so close into our lives that something would be tangibly transformed. And that we would be open to that hope. Because hope makes us vulnerable to possible disappointment, to something different happening than we expect. And I wonder if that's what's daunting about Lent. That we might know of something that is misaligned. And that we would hope that God would make it different. And so I'm going to invite Gabrielle to start playing as we gather ourselves for this prayer time. And in the quiet of our sanctuary, and as we ready our hearts for Lent, I'm going to ask us to enter into a spirit of prayer. And invite you in the next few moments of the quiet of our sanctuary to consider an arena in your life, an area in your life where it seems daunting to bring hope into that space. Maybe it's a disappointment that you've carried for a long time. And it's frightening to think that it might be different. Perhaps like Paul, it's that thorn in your side. That you wish God would do something different with. So I invite you to lift that up to God. In the quiet of our prayer, in the quiet of our sanctuary, I invite you to place yourself on that mountainside with Jesus and his disciples. And with Moses and Elijah. And I invite you to imagine what would it look like for God to come near in your life during Lent? To show up in a mighty way. To change that which you are carrying, that which you are frightened to hope for, that which would align your heart and your love and your life more and more with God's grace. What would it look like for God to come near? Almighty God, we come together in our prayers this morning and we are reminded that you are the God of miracles. That you are the God whose Grace cannot be contained by the most expansive horizons. That you can bring life where it seems that it is wilderness. That you can bring healing where there is hurt. That you can bring justice where there is injustice. That you could speak mercy into chaos. And God, we get so accustomed to doing what we can and on our own. To make our lives, to make this world perhaps more as we would have it. Or perhaps even to how we think you would have it. But Lord, on this Transfiguration Sunday, as a church and in our homes, we pray that you might open our lives to even more. That you would come near. And that Jesus' presence near us would shine. That your light would be evident in us. And that our lives and our loves in this church, in the community, might be more aligned to you. Give us such courage. Give us such confidence as we approach you this Lent. Give us such hope, we pray. And all this we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I'm going to invite you to stand together as you are able as we sing our closing song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. You'll find the words on the screen in front of you or in our Faith We Sing on page 2173.
Shine, fill this land with the Father's glory.
Hearing that story about the door-to-door salesman reminds me why I never got into that. But if I did, it would be to sell this grace. I think about this path that I've walked in ministry, and it's been alongside a lot of people, some in this congregation, others and other churches. And some it's been in life's valleys and challenges, and some it's been on the mountainside. And like you, all I know is I've seen that grace. And I've seen that light. And I've seen how it changes lives. It transforms them. It helps people through loss. It helps people through struggles. It helps people speak justice into this world. It helps people bring mercy. It helps people take leaps of faith in wanting to discover that grace and to share it more and more. How do we open our lives this Lent to that grace? The Lenten study is Get Your Life Back by John Eldridge. It's all about tuning our lives in this hurried world to this grace all around us. Whether it's reading the book, whether it's engaging in the study, whether it's just being in worship, I hope that you will open your heart this Lenten season to this amazing grace that calls us God's child, and whom we hear, God is well pleased in us. Amen, amen. And amen.